and gentlemen, welcome to Wrestling Art with Chris Things.
Do the hammer lock.
Doing it. Hello there. Hi, friends. Chris Things, Brian here again. This is Wrestling Art with Chris Things. And what do we have here? Oh my gosh, it is 2 weeks in a row. Wrestling Art Curator edition of the show. Wait, hang on. No, it's not. Last week we had the Wrestling Club special. All right, not 2 weeks in a row, but still, that is a very, very close proximity between Wrestling Art Curated editions of the show. I'm very excited about that. I always get excited to talk about to other artists out there about their creative wrestling art endeavors, and this week we're doing something a little bit different, a little bit on the fringes of what you'd call a wrestling artist, but I think an artist none. They're different, but don't think that's a word. Anyway, we have an author on the show. I definitely think writing is art, you know, in its own way, and I think it deserves all of the credibility that, you know, you would do the same in creating an artwork and in painting it and you know, writing a beautiful article or authoring a wonderful book. But guys, I'm so stoked to have Phil Schneider on the show to talk all the things. You know, for those of y'all that don't know, you know, Phil is just an incredible voice when it comes to the world of wrestling criticism or you know, wrestling reviews. Way back to the Death Valley Driver video review days, of which, you know, I was a member, proud member of that beautiful forum back in the day, and it certainly broadened my wrestling horizons and made me into the wrestling freak that I am today, through Segunda Caída, you know, the Phil Schneider comp tapes, if anyone can remember those incredible things. Just so much beautiful wrestling passion. And then, you know, I got to know Phil. I got to know him by being involved in a project through Hybrid Shoot. Shout out to Jonathan Snowden with the original Way of the Blade book that really, in hindsight, changed my life. You know, I've spoken about it before. It really changed my the way that I look at my art practice. Made me a better artist in a lot of ways, and allowed me to do a lot of cool work and meet a lot of cool people going forward. So I got to meet Phil through that. I did the artwork for the book. Phil did the incredible write-ups for all of the matches in the book. And it was a beautiful thing, and I really enjoyed the process of collaborating with Phil on it and receiving his match lists and, you know, little tidbits here and there about matches and stuff, and just him introducing me through that book, and as well as I'm assuming a lot of other people were, of a lot of great, weird and wonderful wrestling shit. You know, I am so stoked that I got to know Phil, and I was actually a guest on the Way of the Blade podcast that he runs. Phil has started that back up, by the way, from the start of this year. I'd highly recommend everyone give that a listen. Some super fun interviews he's conducted there. But yeah, then fast forward, and now we've had the new Way of the Blade book, the AEW edition, that is due out very soon. So we're both very excited about that. And then in addition, Phil is doing the big sequel to the Action Dean show that was so amazingly received, the Mania Weekend one last year that they did. Now we're having the second come up this weekend. So I thought, man, I think this is as good a time as any to, you know, have a chat with Phil and finally have him on the podcast. You know, we've spoken about this for quite a while, you know, lining things up, and I'm glad it finally happened. I'm so excited to get someone that, you know, has had a massive impact on my wrestling life, my art life, my, you know, my weird interests. Yeah, man, it's a really cool thing for me to get to do. So hopefully that passion comes across in our chat coming up in a little bit. But I'd recommend in advance of that, everyone make sure to check out some of Phil's writing. Follow Phil A. Schneider on Twitter. You know, also follow Action Dean 2025 on Twitter for all of the updates of this incredible looking show this weekend. And, you know, check out some of Phil's amazing work that he's done through The Ringer. You know, I've read some absolutely wonderful articles that he's done there. I even did the artwork for one of them for his greatest barbed wire matches one. So shout out for Phil for getting me that job. But, you know, as well, he's now doing some great stuff with Yahoo Sports. So I'd highly recommend that, but I won't waffle on too much more. We've got a pretty thorough chat that we're about to have in the couple minutes between this. Man, I've had a pretty hectic schedule lately myself. A lot of travel, a lot of traveling carny life that I'm doing now. Just got back from Sydney the other day, flying out for the terrific Lucha Fantastica show that was part of the Sydney Comedy Festival. Had so much fun with that. So much fun meeting, you know, some of the wrestlers that I used to know in a life gone by back in my own wrestling days. And just having a great time and seeing the spectacle and love that is, you know, the world of Lucha Libre, even presented in a, you know, in an Australian sense. I think it's just such a great thing and so much that I love about the world of Lucha Libre that even, you know, presented completely on the other side of the world in front of fans who likely have no idea what they're about to see. It's just such a fun and beautiful world. So I had such a great time with that. Man, shout out to Sid Parker, the Jurassic Punk. He was a rad dude that I got to have a lovely little chat with on the evening in question, who, you know, rad wrestling tastes, man. Maybe I have to have that dude on the podcast soon. But man, I'm having a fun time, and now I'm continuing to work on a mysterious commission project that I'm excited to share with you all in the near future. Lining up my schedule, I'm so incredibly busy in June. I'm quite terrified. I have that weirdo art show, the Sunshine Coast one, coming up. You can check all these out on the events page of christhings.com.au. And then I have a culty solstice art show that I'm very excited to be taking part in coming up the following week in Super Ordinary in Hamilton in Brisbane. And both of those are going to be creating a whole bunch of new art for. You know, probably don't need to. Probably don't have anyone that's saying, hey, Chris, you need to make sure you submit all new art for these things. No, I do it because I'm a maniac. I enjoy it as well, you know, making new paintings, making new art is probably the funnest part of this job. And a lot of the time, I don't necessarily get to do that all the time. You know, I do my match of the week every week that'll actually be coming out tomorrow. So I'll always make a new art for that. But in terms of sitting down and doing like a proper painting, that kind of thing, it's not all the time I get to do it. So, you know, I relish in those moments and I try to do as much as I can. So I'm looking forward to it as a challenge. Not a terrifying thing. I'm just going to say that to myself over and over again. And then, yeah, I'm finishing it up for the month of the massive, the great artist market in Brisbane. So, man, a lot of things on, but I'm happy about it and thankful and grateful. And I'm excited to get to have chats like I am today. I think let's not waffle on any further. Let's get ready for this interview with Phil Schneider. Let's go! Lee, ladies and gentlemen, we have the return of the Wrestling Art Curator edition of the podcast here today. We're doing something a little bit different today. As our artist guest, we have an esteemed writer joining us who is quite significant to myself, both in terms of an inspiration from my broadening my wrestling nerd horizons to being the author of a book that changed my life, the original Way of the Blade that I did the art for, to be someone that I just, you know, love reading all of his stuff, and of course had a big part in the new Dean events. Without any further ado, welcome to the show, Phil Schneider.
Great to be here, Chris, my partner in crime, and always enjoy chatting with you whenever we get a chance. So this will be fun.
Yeah, dude. I was thinking back last time I spoke to you, it might have been for the Way of the Blade podcast that you do, where we were chatting about that that incredible chicken versus Canis Lupus match. Was that the one?
Yeah.
In the original Way of the Blade book. Yes, El Pollo. How could I forget? Incredible match.
Because I did, like, basically took a 2-year hiatus from the podcast before bringing it back. So this was back in the day,
dude. I was so happy to see the Way of the Blade podcast come back. I've checked out like a bunch of the shows. I was just this yesterday listening to the great one you had with Mad Dog Connolly. Talking about the incredible, chain match between Piper and Valentine. But, of course, he's become a big part with Dean and everything now.
Semi-main event of our first show and probably main eventing the one in this weekend. I don't think we've completely nailed down the match order. Things are changing, like, every day. Like, we just... Tom Lawler hurt his back, so we had to replace him in his match. That happened an hour ago. So this is like where we're at right now in the weeds with it for this show. So it'll be, we're going to get done.
Dude, that is the magic of promoting wrestling, right? Like, oh, you God. Have something in mind and then it's just going to fucking change six times.
Yeah, we had a bunch of guys we had to move out of the Cibernetico because there was issues with CMLL, so now those changes all got made. So this last week, the week before the show, has been the whole thing's been thrown up in the air, but the card's gonna be great. I'm really excited about it, and folks at AEW seem pretty excited about it too. So
dude, I think it's such a cool thing that came together. You know, I was listening to that interview you had with Tony, and then the great little announcement we got at the end of Dean coming back for Dean 2 for the show this weekend. And man, I'm so excited about it. Like, I'm so stoked to talk to you and know about all of the things. Have you been a busy man this week?
My God. So yeah, no, completely. and it's also, it's like, you're kind of waiting around to see what you need to do, right? Like, so you're busy and then you're not busy. Like, everything was squared away. And then the thing with, I get a DM from Tom saying I can't stand. And I'm like, all right, well, we got to figure out something else to do. But I'm DMing Tony Khan saying, Tom can't stand. What do we do? So we figured it out. And so, yeah, it's been busy. I'm leaving in a couple of days for Arizona, and we'll see what happens when we get there. It's very different experience doing a show like this in partnership with a big company like AEW than it was when you're doing it just on your own. You make all the decisions.
I can imagine.
You're just trying to get on your own. You do not make all the decisions when you were doing it in partnership. I mean, not just with AEW, but also with CMLL. And, you know, they're you have an idea and they're like, no, that's not going to work. Or you've got a idea. They've got a different idea. And it's like, oh, well, this is on your dime. So your different idea will go with. Well, most of it, I'd say 85% of this card is me and Eric and Matt. Tony has a lot. Tony brought in some ideas, but a lot of his ideas were really good. Didn't really like upset things. It was like, oh yeah, that works. It actually works better than the thing I was thinking about.
Yeah, man. I mean, I guess that doesn't surprise me with like Tony being one of the, you know, original Death Valley Driver review dudes as well. So, you know, there's a part of him where I'm always intrigued to, you know, watch what he's doing and see where that sort of like creep kind of like fan you know, like the hardcore weirdos like us, where that kind of comes out in his booking, you know what I mean?
I mean, he's official when it comes to that kind of stuff. Like, we've had you know, conversations over the years, and then more setting the show up, and then, you know, like, all of a sudden we'll go on like a side tangent about a post he did in the Launce versus the World thread and on DVDVR like 20 years ago, and how he was like, he talked to me for like 10 minutes about, oh yeah, like it was Launce versus Robert Gibson. I was really upset that Robert Gibson lost. And he was going to went in about how he did a whole post about who is the lesser tag partner. And it was like, well, is Stevie Ray better than Lance Storm? Is Brian Knobs better than Lance Storm? He's just like talking. It's like, okay. He's official. You know, whatever you think AEW, whatever you think of Tony Khan, his true message board freak bona fides are not in question.
I got that straight away from his post, like the press conferences, you know. Yeah. It's like, that is clearly like the kind of, you know, weirdo, his obsessive wrestling thing that, you know, really, really speaks to me on a deep level, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, so I think he's been excited to work on this project because he doesn't necessarily have to worry about, okay, what are the ratings of this going to be? What are the people at Max going to think of this show? He could just go, all right, let's do some real shit. So this is going to be some real shit. I mean, it's going to be interesting, right? Because we're going to be outdoors like at night. It's a free show. It's going to be like in a, like an outdoor sort of mall kind of. So I don't know. It's good. I just feel, I'm feeling there's going to be people like walking, you know, there, it's a sort of a late dinner. They just left the Cheesecake Factory and Mad Dog Connolly is going to be covered in blood, choking out a priest with a chain. I'm just going to turn their head. Like,
I'm so fascinated.
Date on a Saturday night. There's this fucking lunatic murdering this guy. So we'll see. I think some wrestling fans are showing up. Hopefully we're gonna have enough fans that are gonna, you know, bring the right atmosphere. It's not just gonna be people out on a Saturday night at a pedestrian ball confused.
Yeah. I hope we have enough like of the hardcore fiends coming out to at least be filling up that first row area. So yeah. that's the, you know, main bit that we get, but. Dude, it was crazy to me when I heard the first Dean, you know, show announcement. And, you know, like, Dean Rasmussen, like, what a guy in terms of his writing on Death Valley Driver Review. Like, I laughed so much in reading his stuff and, you know, like yours as well. Like, it really broadened my horizons and brought me into a kind of wrestling that, you know, now is pretty well, you know, I'm so don't have any time for a lot of mainstream wrestling just because it's like the weird shit. And, you know, I could be watching like a Tommy Rich match or, you know, the Sheep Herders or, you know, whatever, Fujiwara. And all of that is thanks to you guys. So it was super cool for me to get to collaborate, you know, with you I did the pitches, you did the book. But that was such a treat for me to get to do after, you know, I got like a Schneider comp tape, like on my shelf.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's been really cool to sort of in recent years, really after when we did the book together and then had opportunities to sort of be in like, do mainstream writing and get paid for the kind of thing that I didn't, you know, did for free for 20 years. And I really feel like I've had a chance with these shows and then with writing for The Ringer and GQ and now Yahoo, get like a chance to spread my wings and do our kind of stuff on bigger platforms. So it means like, and that's the book we did together is the whole reason that I've had a chance to do anything else. Too, which is really cool. And I think that the new book, working with AEW for the new book, is a lot of the reasons I were able to kind of open the door to run these to Dean 2 and then Dean 3 later in the fall. And who knows, maybe Dean 4, Dean 5. I don't know. I mean, my hope is that these are successful enough that we get to keep doing them past these two that we already have scheduled. I mean, we'll see. But yeah, I know it's neat. And I think it's a nice tribute to Dean, I mean, they, you know, they set up this Josh Woods, Tom Lawler match, which is now not happening. They set that up on ROH TV, and, you know, they had like a video package, and Ian Riccoboni is saying to honor the great Dean Rasmussen as he leads into this thing. And it's like, you know, that's pretty wild, man. That's like a chance for my guy to really get a people know about him that didn't know about him before. And that's cool, man. He's a really good dude. You know, not only sort of the reason that I was ever able to write about wrestling with any regularity or seriousness, but, you know, a good friend of mine, especially when I was younger. So we're really happy about this and excited about, you know, well, the future. Our book's coming out soon. You know, hopefully any day now. I know John Snowden has the initial copy in his hands. So, you know, we're talking about a matter of weeks, not months, until we get our hands on it.
So excited.
We'll write some more books, probably.
Yeah, I hope so, man.
I got about 65 matches on a spreadsheet ready to start going for Way of the Blade 3. We'll get that done.
Dude, when you said about, you know, I've already started on Way of the Blade 3, just from the kind of matches that I, like I said, I'm a freak. Just the kind of stuff I get joy from watching wrestling. And then these have become like my match of the week gimmick that I'm doing on my Instagram and Facebook.
Yeah, this is going to be easy. You were doing, I saw those, the art you did for Sabu versus Joey Janela. It's like, I'm definitely writing that up for Way of the Blade 3. I don't know if I was in the hot water, but I stirred up some hot water about that match. I don't know if you saw that, Chris.
Oh my gosh, dude. I was talking to Joey about this.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I was like, I honestly, like, an amazing piece, and it's just, there's, you know, I try to focus more on the positives of this kind of stuff, but I so hate how people can, like, twist something that's, like, positive and cool and such a wild, awesome story, and then they, you know, pick this stuff out of it to make, you know, Joey look in a certain way, and it's like, it just makes me so angry.
I got Joey, and I may be in a little more hot water than I'm certainly intending to. I mean, the spirit of the article was, I mean, it was written before he died. The spirit of the article was like,
yeah,
this is gonzo fucking punk rock wrestling, right? Sabu, coming out of nowhere, you know, wiling out and doing this crazy thing at the end of his life. And yeah, I mean, okay. Sabu was probably high, and the idea of like, it was they drugged Sabu. Drugs?
Oh my gosh. Who needs to drug Sabu?
So much his entire life sober. What the fuck are we talking about here? So, I was reading, oh, Kratom's trending on Twitter. That's not good.
Dude, it was such a great match, though. And like, I got the same thing. I watched it late, you know, later than everyone. I originally wanted to be there in person. And then, like, I was just watching it, and I had such a level of excitement of not knowing what was going to happen next. This freak show, like, carnival, whatever the fuck, snuff film of a match. incredible. And I thought the most fitting send-off to Sabu that could possibly happen in reality, you know?
Yeah, and everybody's death is tragic, but in some ways, what Sabu went out, Sabu.
Yeah, yeah, and, absolutely.
You know, that was definitely more heat than I normally get for the articles that I write. But, you know, I think the people at Yahoo appreciated the click, so I think it worked out good for me.
I feel like the vast majority of people that read that, you know, got a kick out of it and got the spirit with which it was meant. Yeah. But yeah, dude, what a wild trip to go from, you know, writing, you know, for Death Valley Driver Review, doing stuff with Sekunda Kaida, and like just the insane place that things have gone now with your writing. Like, how does that feel surreal to you? Like, do you have a moment where you've sort of like...
100%, right? The stuff, I mean, I ended up writing probably maybe 100 articles for The Ringer. And, you know, a lot of those were really like, I was there. I had really some opportunities to do some real my shit stuff, you know, write about like barbed wire matches and write about, you know, Gypsy Joe, Necro Butcher. And so, I mean, that's crazy that I was getting paid for The Ringer, which is like a site that I read and listened to, you know, basketball podcasts on well before I ever had a job, you know, got a chance to write there. And then, you know, getting a chance to write for GQ is cool. And the stuff I'm doing at Yahoo, seemed pretty happy to let me just do whatever the, you know, hell I want, which is pretty cool. Yeah, it's fun. I mean, I miss the regular Ringer gig, the weekly gig, because it paid pretty well. And, you know, I miss the money. I don't miss having to watch Raw every week. I've been happily, you know, like, well, okay, I can go back to fucking watching whatever the hell I want instead of like feeling this obligation to watch SmackDown at every pay-per-view and every Dynamite and every, and then, you know, like, I got to watch whole New Japan shows. And I was really, because I really didn't need to put the amount of work I put into that into it, but I'm a lunatic. So it's not like I'm going to just half-ass something. I can't, my brain doesn't let me do that. So it's like, if I'm trying to say this is the best match, don't I feel like I have to watch all the matches to be sure? It's like I can't not watch all the matches. I can just assume this is the best.
I can relate.
Yeah.
I'm the same. Like,
mental illness.
I put together these matches for some of these, like, these bar shows that I do now, and I'll just, like, you know, in reality, these shows are just, like, me doing, like, a Schneider comp tape or, like, a Rob Naylor, like, comp list of wrestling for, like, a bar full of people. And when I'm putting these out together and I'm researching them, like, you know, I'll be watching the match, but I'll be like, well, for my own purposes, I have to watch, like, the build-up thing to it and, like, the promo that happened before it, and then, like, if there's an epilogue match or whatever, like, it's that insane brain that I'm talking about.
So for Yahoo, I pitched a bunch of things for Mania to them, and one of the ones they accepted was an idea I didn't think they would go for, but I just needed to get, you know, you got to get 5 pitches. Right, you don't want to send them 2 pitches. You got to send them 5 pitches. And, you know, so now maybe they'll get 1. And they actually accepted 3, which was a lot more than I was expecting when I sent them. But one of them was, it was like the idea of I'm going to find the best match or a career highlight and then a hidden gem for all 31 wrestlers on WrestleMania. I don't know if you read that article.
That's insane.
Totally insane. It's fun. I read the article. You should check it out. But it ended up being, I don't know, like 7,000 or 8,000 words. And I'm saying to myself, well, I got to find a hidden gem. And then, a normal person would say, oh, okay, well, this person had a match on SmackDown or something like that. That'll count. But I'm not a normal person. So I'm not going to allow my TV matches. That's not a real hidden gem. That's not in the spirit of digging in the crates. So I'm like going through on YouTube, like, Taiwanese house shows where it's like, oh, Tiffany Stratton had a 6-man tag that somebody put on YouTube. Okay, let me watch it and see if there's something interesting to a paragraph I can write on it. I mean, it just took me so long. I'm just sitting there. I'm always like, what are you doing? Like, I gotta try to find something that for Jade Cargill. I know she's only had like 35 matches, but I'm just trying to watch house show Jade Cargill. So it was, tag's pretty good. I want to write about house show Jade Cargill. I mean, this is what I did for like 4 days, just like watching every single thing. And I, you know, I mean, even like the pay-per-view stuff, a lot of it is like, well, I didn't watch this AJ Styles Cena match in a really long time, so I better watch it again. And again, there's nobody told me that I had to do it like that. I could do it because
do you still get joy? Do you still get joy from doing these things? Or is it more an obsessive kind of deal?
I don't know. It's unclear. It's some joy about doing stuff. I like writing. It's fun to be on. You know, you get a little dopamine hit when you post the thing and everybody says, oh, cool, this article's neat. I mean, that article ended up on the front page of Yahoo Sports proper. So, like, right next to the NBA playoff preview and Major League Baseball preview, and then it's this thing I did. So that was cool. I probably wish I'd taken a slightly easier road, but I was kind of proud how it turned out. If you're interested in seeing all this, like, how was Bailey Miko Satomura in Japan? It's a handout. I'll tell you. You can read my thing. I'll tell you how it was.
Dude, I wanted to give a shout out. Like, your style of writing has, like, such a personality and such, like, a relatable thing to it. Like, in the original Way of the Blade book, my parents, who, you know, I gave them a book, and that was a really nice little thing to get to do, to, you know, give them a book that I illustrated. And they know nothing about professional wrestling. And then now I have conversations with my dad where he's, like, telling me about, like, Terry Funk matches and, you know, this weird shit. And And I think that is a testament to you and your writing in terms of making this kind of like palatable to someone who's not necessarily like a hardcore degenerate like us, you know?
That's good. Like, I appreciate that. I kind of just write for the hardcore degenerates, but if it also crosses over a little bit, that's cool too. I mean, I hope that when I do these things, I like expose people to stuff that, you know, they hadn't seen already. That's what Dean did. I mean, that was his great talent as a writer, is like, I'm going to open your eyes to these whole worlds you didn't know about. And my writing is so infectious and so funny and so relatable that you're like, man, I gotta have to watch this war heavyweight tag, or I'm gonna have to go find this lucha match, or find this indie match, or man, it sounds like this road trip to North Carolina was so fun, I'm gonna check out these Hardys, see what they're about. And so that was what he did better than anyone ever. So I try to feel like I do some of that on my own too, and be in kind of honor of what he did, the same way these shows are going to be in honor of what he did as well. So that's sort of my thought, you know, give that guy the flowers he deserves and sort of try to follow in his footsteps.
Yeah, for sure. It's like an infectious enthusiasm that I think, like, yeah, you're reading about the most obscure stuff. And, you know, this was me coming from, like, you know, I think at that point, you know, I was like an Observer subscriber. So I'd like hear, you know, Dave give like match reviews and his like ratings or whatever. And he wouldn't really go in depth on anything. And, you know, Dave's Dave. I love Dave, but, you know, it's like just a different thing. And then you read this style of review talking about wrestling, talking about, like, you know, let's say Futen or something, you know. And it's just like creates a whole new, like all sorts of rabbit holes of professional wrestling that you can obsessively then go and research yourself and just, yeah, man, like, get, I read Eric's like tribute to Dean on Segunda Caída before doing this as a little refresher kind of thing. And I think he said something about like the amount of you know, like women in his life that he's forced to endure watching wrestling, you know, from a different language or whatever. And I am the same. I really connected with that. The amount of girlfriends that I've had that hate wrestling that I'm just like, no, you've got to watch this Daisuke Arcada match, you know.
my wife is very supportive, but all of these things that I do, but not interested at all in participating or watching any of this stuff. I've taken my kids to some local lucha and they've enjoyed that. But my daughter is a favorite wrestler, is Gringo Loco. She's very excited.
Amazing.
that he was on these shows, because when we went to one of these local lucha shows, he was there. And because I knew him from Dean One and I had him on Way of the Blade even before that, I got up and he was like, gave him a little doll. And, you know, so she was like, you have to tell Gringo Loco hi at this show. And is Gringo Loco, what's he doing on the show? Not that interested in anything else on the show, but very interested in Gringo. So I had my kids come to things they've enjoyed. And my wife, that's fine. There's things she likes I don't care about either. So that's a part of the way of being successfully married, is allowing you don't have to share all the interests with your spouse. She can watch.
Acknowledge the passion.
The Bride 11 times, and I'm fine with it. And being that I can watch too much dumb wrestling and be okay with that too. So.
Shout out to Father of the Bride, that original with Steve Martin. That is a heck of a movie.
Very good.
With a lot of love for that.
And we went over to a friend's house. I guess I live outside of Denver, so went over to a buddy of mine's house who lives in Colorado Springs. He's a huge Nuggets fan, so we had a bunch of people over for Game 7, which went very poorly for the Nuggets. But after that, they drown his sorrows, they put on Father of the Bride, watch about 15-20 minutes of it. It's amazing how young Martin Short looks while Steve Martin basically looks the same as he does now 35 years ago.
I'll never not love that ridiculous European accent.
Yes,
it's great stuff. I think there's something about like not being interested in something yourself, but seeing someone else's passion, you know, up front, that is there's something fascinating about that. I just got back from Mexico, and my girlfriend Kaylin, she is wonderfully supportive, you know, with my art stuff and with the, you know, the wrestling stuff. Well, not necessarily being a fan herself, but I'm proud to say her two favorite Mexican wrestlers now are Caimanito and LA Park.
Nice. You got to see LA Park. So you didn't just do the Tourist Arena Mexico then. Because LA Park's not working Tourist Arena Mexico.
not on this day.
It's mostly just like white non-wrestling fan tourists. Like 40% or something every one of those shows when you go there. Like because they do like these tours. Like I've had tons of just random friends, you know, guys I played rugby with in college or guys I worked with at some point who will, you know, send me a DM me a picture of them in Arena Mexico. I don't give a shit about wrestling at all. So, but you apparently went to what Arena Neza? Where did you go see LA Park?
No. So this was Arena Ciudad for the big disaster of part of the retirement tour of Io Del Santo.
Oh, jeez.
That big mask puestas catastrophe that was meant to be him and Fuerza Guerrera that then turned into him versus Ultimo Dragon and LA Park and Mysterioso as the big mask one. And who would have believed it, but Mysterioso was the one to lose the mask.
Yeah, no shit. A bunch of guys you knew weren't going to win, and one guy, it's like, all right, somebody took the payday.
Yep.
How did Santo look? I thought about trying to use Santo as on some one of these shows, but it's just you can't deal with him. It's just like, Paul, he said, look, you're gonna agree on a payment, then he's gonna show up and he's gonna demand twice as much money, and then he made some of these. I was like, okay, so you're saying, I mean, once we got down the road with AEW, they've got that relationship with the CMLL, so you wouldn't have been able to certainly use any CMLL guys if you're using Santo. I initially pitched Roosh versus Mad Dog as a main event for one of these shows. And then Tony was like, maybe Rush is hard to deal with. Also, we couldn't use any CMLL dudes if we used Roosh. And I was like, all right, we'll use some CMLL dudes.
So
no Roosh on Dean 2, maybe Dean 3. I don't know. We got at least one more show we're doing. So Roosh is it might be in the mix at some point. Obviously, I love him and would love to use him, but apparently not the easiest guy to deal with. Shockingly,
dude, bring back that LA Park Roosh magic.
Oh man, that would be something. I mean, Roosh and Mad Dog could do a LA Park Roosh. I don't know. Roosh might not sell for him. Mad Dog might have to make him sell for him, but that's all right. Make you sell for him. You could do that.
Intrigue. That's the part I want to see.
Yeah, he's not going to eat him. If he tries to eat you up, don't let him eat you up. You're fucking. but yeah, I mean, Bad Dog Adam Priest is going to be great. I mean, those guys are both,
out of
maybe the two best independent wrestlers in the world. And I think they're going to really just tear the house down.
I feel like I'm so late to the party on those dudes, but so great.
Yeah. And so we're really pretty excited. I mean, I'm pretty excited about all the matches. I think there's a good chance that all the matches on the show, obviously I'm a little disappointed that Lawler Woods fell apart. Cause I was really looking forward to that being just those two guys freestyle wrestling for 6 minutes and just seeing who could, we were going to age it. That is just like, look, go out there and just, I just want this to look like the finals of a freestyle wrestling NCAA tournament match for the first 5 minutes of this and just see who can pin who. So the replacement we're going to have, it's going to be Josh Woods, JD Drake, which is still going to be cool. But obviously a different thing. So we're excited about that. I mean, the dog collar match is going to be great. Slim J Mortis, which we just announced tonight, that's going to be blow the roof off of it. We've got some really, really cool CMLL luchadors in this Cibernetico match, which I guess I can. When is this coming out?
This is coming out tomorrow.
What time? I see a bunch of guys tomorrow. I could give you a little. I mean, I could just, if this beats it out, maybe it will. Well, so we got Virus. I mean, we're bringing in Virus, which we're very excited about.
Amazing.
Dr. Cerebro is obviously going to be there. Hologram's going to be there. And then, we got some other guys. We got one big name, which I'm not going to drop here, but we've got maybe the CMLL guy you would most want to see on a Dean show is going to be on this show. I'm incredibly excited about that. I mean, this is like a dream come true. That's going to be great. Very excited about Covenant of the Goat versus the Los Desperados. Kind of a last minute thing.
What a batshit match.
Well, I was a little bit of like, you know, Gringo was in the Cibernetico, and then, you know, CMLL'd us a little bit. So then we had to find something for him to do, and we didn't have something for the Coven yet. We were actually thinking about doing JD Drake and Anthony Henry, but Anthony Henry is right about almost cleared, but not cleared yet. So it was like still up in the air whether he was going to get cleared in time. So we kind of moved that. That'll be interesting. I think all four of those guys are a little hesitant about it. Like, what is this going to be? But I've got some ideas, and we're going to have like some Matt Graham is going to agent it. I think it's going to be very cool turned out. And then, you know, like, we're going to have Lee Moriarty, Matt Mako, which is going to be for the ROH Pure title. Man. So pretty cool that that's actually a title match.
I'm so excited about that one.
Yeah. And then, Manders Rhino, which is an insane match, that we're just, you know, this was just basically like me and Tony Khan on the phone trying to figure, who do we want to put Manders against? Oh, we got to find some other guy that can fight. And I was like, what? You guys did just book Rhino, right? Could you book Rhino? He's like, yeah, we can book Rhino. Fuck, let's do that. That's what most of these conversations were. It's like, it's very not the easiest to get Tony on the phone. The guy's got 11 jobs. So when doing him on the phone, it's often like super late at night, where he's like, it's like 11:45 at night my time, and I'm on mountain time. It's like, why are you even still awake? Why are we talking about this so late? And I'm like, let's figure it out. Okay, it's fucking Rhino. Why not?
Man, I'm so like fascinated in just how this works. I mean, from the original show to like you guys like putting together a show for the first time for a lot of you, I'm assuming, now to where it's not so new, but you've got this whole collaborative element of it that, you know, adds a heck of a lot of complication to anyone who even is an experienced promoter trying to, you know, put all this shit together. Like, has it just been kind of like, what is it? Out of the fire, into the pan, or the other way around, whatever the saying is.
You know, Matt Griffin, who we're working with from Action Wrestling, he's just got a ton of experience putting on shows, right? So, I mean, we wouldn't have been able to do the first. There was no chance. It was just me and Eric trying to run the fucking show. Any idea what we're supposed to do? How we get a ring? How you get away? I mean, none of that stuff, right? So, you know, Matt working, teaming with Matt, that's the only reason it happened. And it's the only reason we could do this too. So I, you know, it's not as hard for me because I'm not the guy who's got to try to figure out like the ring skirts. Like, Matt, talk to Matt. You know, like let me introduce you, AEW marketing guy, to my friend Matt, and you guys work this out. So it's been really helpful to have him. He's obviously a pro and really experienced and has already done, like, he does, you know, if I'm freaking out about something, he's like, oh, well, you know, people cancel all the time. We get hurt. It's not a big deal. This is, it's very calming to have him around. And, you know, he obviously is sort of, he's a guy that's been on the DVDVR board forever as well. I mean, he was on there. He wrestled as JC North, who was like an NWA Virginia dude back in the like Preston Quinn, Damian Wayne days. And, you know, he's really proud of the fact that he's got like Dean review, Road Report reviews talking about how good his match was. And it's easy. He's on the board as long as, you know, the board's been around. So he obviously is in the, understands the mission in a real way, which is very cool.
Save big on your landscaping project, Menards. We're your destination for concrete landscaping blocks. Whether you're installing a patio or adding a new retaining wall, we have the largest in-stock selection ready to take home today. Plus, get free estimates fast using our landscape design program in-store or on Menards.com. Save big on landscape blocks when you shop at Menards. And check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big.
So when did the first, like, can you tell me, like, or remember how the first sort of, like, communication happened about making this a reality? Because I remember hearing about the idea of originally talking about bringing in, you know, like, Yuki Ishikawa versus Daisuke Ikeda and doing that
in America, would have been incredible. But
I've kind of wanted to run a wrestling. That's been a bucket list thing for me forever, right? Since I started doing this, is putting on a show. I did color commentary at a Lucha Libre television pilot run by a mysterious businessman in Washington, D.C. that I knew in my 20s. And then he kind of disappeared. I don't understand exactly what happened with that. But I had some experience doing that and then nothing. But it was always something I wanted to do. And, you know, I started to think about, is this something you can make a reality? And just kind of hit up Matt at one point and said, hey, if we wanted to do like a Segun Nakaita show, was this something you think we could do? And he's like, oh, yeah, we'd probably do it. And then I was like, I hit up Ishikawa and Ikeda, and they agreed to do it. And then, you know, kind of cycled for a while. We thought about some dates. And eventually when we came time to do Mania Weekend, you know, and I reached out to IKR, we got the date. This is when we're doing it. And he was like, my back's all messed up, man. I can't really do this anymore.
Mm.
So then it shifted. Then we were like, okay, well, I want to do the show. We can't do IK to Ishikawa anymore. Those guys are basically, Ishikawa's like, I'm done being like a serious wrestler. I don't want to come out there anymore. I can't come out there anymore and do something that's worthy of what we used to do. Because I definitely tried him again for this show too. I hit up Ishikawa again on. I was like, hey, just checking in. We had this thing. But he was like, I'm probably going to try at least one more time in Philly. I'm sure he is sick of me at this point. He's got a book, by the way. He DM'd me a picture of him holding Way of the Blade.
Oh my gosh.
So he's got one. Yeah, and that was pretty cool. That was pretty sick. He was like holding a picture of Way of the Blade up. I was like, oh, okay. That's the business right there. So then we were just like, well, we should do something anyway. Let's think of some cool stuff. And then I sort of roped in Eric because, I knew this is something he would have fun with. And you know, I knew that we were going to lose money. So I was like, well, if I can get an additional partner in here, I will lose half the money and he will lose half the money and maybe Matt will lose some money. But the three of us lose a lot of money. It won't be as much money. That was kind of because I didn't take care of kind of make a profit running a wrestling club. I'm not a lunatic. I knew that I was going to, but it was kind of my idea was I'll do this one cool thing I've always wanted to do. This was back when I was like weekly writing for The Ringer too. So I was like, well, I'm making a lot of money from wrestling right now. You know, I'm making, you know, a real, they paid 50 cents a word. So I was like making a lot of money for them. And I was like, well, I could fucking take some of this money and set it on fire. Who cares? Right. I'll just, I'll see if they want me to, I'll let it make me do a diary of running the show and then I'll make the money back doing that. And then by the time it actually came together that I wasn't working for the break of the week anymore. So I was like, shit, this is a more sensible thing when I had this golden goose that's dead now. So it kind of, it came together. We started kicking around ideas and talking to people. And, I knew that my friend Dan McCabe's career was kind of coming to an end. And so I wanted to try to do something really cool with him. He's a guy that I was talking about this was an Ikeda Ishikawa idea. I was looping him in. He worked both those guys in Germany, so he had sort of knew them and at least a little bit, right? So wanted to do something cool with him. So we were like, wanted to do the Thatcher match. So we were really happy we were able to make that happen. It was always a little up in the air because there was a chance he was going to be in Noah,
right?
So that was never that didn't get confirmed until relatively late in the process. So we were doing a lot of like, okay, well, we can't do this. What's another big Makabe showcase match to do? And then, I knew I had become a big fan of Matt O'Connelly's work back when he used to do those Paradigm Pro UWFI shows. And it was like really early in that process. Me and Eric watched all of those and reviewed them. It was a good idea. And he was one of those guys like, I don't know who this guy is, but he jumped off the screen the way he jumps off the screen, right?
Dude, the variety that you must have gotten on those shows of like some of the stuff being awesome and some of the stuff being the most like dog shit version of freestyle wrestling ever.
There was variety. There was definitely some dog shit. There were guys who they had some cool dudes, and I actually liked more of it than I think most other people who were like shoot style fans did, because I could kind of appreciate, these guys are hitting each other hard. You know, that's cool. That's
something to be respected.
But it wasn't fucking Tamura and Riggs either. You had some dicks who were just big fucking Dutch kickboxers who knew what the fuck they were doing, but hit people real hard in the kidneys. So it's like they weren't all masters of the martial arts. So even back in the day, so I kind of appreciated the freak show aspect of it too. But Connolly, you watch his match, you're like, man, that guy is intense. Mm. Like, he is coming into these things. Like, the first time I ever saw him, it was like a, you know, like a 3-minute match or something like that. I was like, holy fuck. This was a hell of a 3-minute match. So he was a guy that, you know, started to branch out and watch more things. He was a guy like totally on my radar as somebody I wanted to use for this. And I was like, well, we could got to find a cool dog collar opponent. And so I thought about Necro, unclear, you know. I love Necro as a wrestler. Forget about the other things for a second, but they exist. And then I was thinking about Slade, who I don't know if you've ever seen Slade.
Yeah, you said he was in jail, right?
He was in jail, yes. We couldn't we couldn't book him. Out of jail now. He might, maybe he's on Team 3. And I'm thinking of some other ideas. And then, I don't know, I just, you know, like, what if I get Demas? Because, you know, he is obviously one of the great like lucha brawlers. And I didn't think I would. I thought I was just like throwing it out there. I was like, I don't think Demas. Well, I can fucking DM Demas. He's on Facebook. And Demas is like, yeah, I'm working in Milwaukee or something the day before. So you don't even have to just fly me from Milwaukee. Because Demas works like these touring like bar midget shows.
Dude, what a life. Going from Zona 23 to like working these midget shows.
And then he works these midget shows. So we had him call for the weekend. He was already in America. We didn't have to fly in from Mexico. That cost more money. One of the reasons that we were able to use Cerebro is he spends a lot of his time in Chicago. Like, I think he splits time between Chicago and Mexico City. So we caught him when he was in Chicago. So we just had to fly from Chicago. We didn't have to fly from Mexico City. It was just stuff you worry about when you're paying for the plane tickets. We're not paying for any of the plane tickets for this show, so I don't really give a shit.
Trans is expensive. Is like the worst thing to pay for as a wrestling promoter.
Yeah, so it's nice that they can just say, oh yeah, talk to AEW Travel. They'll book this for you. I don't know, I can worry about it. People trying to find, you know, use miles and shit to get people places. So Deepest worked out great. I fucking knew that was going to be good. And that was even better than I thought it was going to be.
Dude, speaking of Demas, like,
not a D2 because he's working a goddamn midget show. We didn't have enough advance notice to book Demas. Called him up. He's like, I can't do it, man. Keep me in mind for the future. I'm like, all right, sounds good. Like,
yeah, well, hopefully Dean 3, man.
Advance for Dean 3 to get Demas again. Couldn't use the one guy that was just like, no, I'm booked, man. I'm working like a fair or something like that against these other midgets. I'm sure that pays well, too. I'm sure he makes way more money doing that than he does working. It's Zona 23 for sure, and a lot easier. Like, he's not going through windshields at the goddamn local midget shows.
Dude, he's incredible. I was like just going down like a Black Terry rabbit hole after his passing recently, and that match with him and Demas, like one of the coolest things ever. So I don't know if it was in like Caralucha or something, but that shit was amazing. And
so
then,
good.
Yeah, Zona and. There's no one that quite brings that intensity. And I think like him and Mad Dog was just such a beautiful pairing. Like, did you expect that to be as good as it was?
I didn't expect it to be as good as it was. I knew it was going to be good. I mean, you know, because I just knew it's like those guys, if they click, they're going to go after each other like crazy. But you never think, oh, well, but maybe they don't click, right? I mean, that's the other thing. It's not like they've worked each other before, you know, even probably had any opponents in common, right? I can't imagine. But man, they, you know, those guys were, Demas is you know, such a pro and such a, you know, like a guy who'd been around the block for so many times. And, you know, Austin is like a kid, you know, that he has got a, you know, you can't teach that kind of passion and you know, have that kind of intensity. That you either have that or you don't, right? I mean, and he's got it. There's so much of wrestling now, you can see the seams. And you don't see the seams in a Mad Dog Connolly match, man. It just feels like a fight. And so I'm very excited to be able to promote another one. And then, you know, obviously, you know, what we do with Dig at Philly, I've got some ideas for Philly for him too. I mean, we're gonna, you know, he's the guy who I think is, you know, he's become kind of the face of the project in a lot of ways. which is, you know, one of the things I had in mind when I first started booking the show. Is like, man, I want to see this guy, because he wasn't somebody who had profile really at all, hardly before Dean, or certainly not as much. And so I was happy that I think it probably helped him get booked in Germany, and it helped him get booked, you know, for West Coast Pro and DPW, the profile that Dean match got. I'm not taking credit for it, but I mean, it's something like him that did it. But I think that we gave him a platform that got him seen by other people and got him booked more. And I'm shocked he isn't even booked more than he is now. I don't understand why he's not a GCW regular, like on every ICW hardcore show. We should just be on every single one of those shows. And maybe this will be another thing that pushes him towards that. Or just think it's side.
Yeah. I mean, I wanted to mention that to you, because I feel like from him before that match and before the first Dean show to after, there's a noticeable difference in his profile and the amount of people talking about him. And I think this show made a real difference for his career. And you can probably say that for like a bunch of the dudes that were on that first show. This going from being like a project for like you guys to like book a show that was a tribute to Dean, you know, just for the sake of doing it and to make it as good as it possibly could be, and then coming off as awesome as it did, and just like a magical night, you know, I as well as a lot of people said it was the highlight of that WrestleMania weekend, of all the shows that were on. It just had such an insane, eclectic, beautiful variety to it that really like celebrates all of the types of wrestling. I heard nothing but positive feedback about this show, and I just finished watching it before rewatching it, and blew my mind again. Like, how do you feel about that? I imagine it would have been a really nervous thing going into it, and it's kind of absurd that it came off as well as it did.
Yeah, I mean, you're obviously, one of the things you're worried about is, well, how much money am I going to lose on the show? Yeah. So if it was that, and it wasn't an insignificant, it wasn't like, you know, more money than I could afford to lose. It was about an amount of money I would have preferred not to, but whatever. So part of the nervousness was that, like, was I going to show up in this fucking thing? Like, are we just going to completely, like, am I going to lose just my shirt, or is this going to be my shirt and my pants? I didn't know the matches were. I mean, how is Timothy Thatcher, Daniel McCabe not going to be good, right? Like, of course that's going to be good, right? How is Gringo Loco, Dr. Cerebro not going to be good? Those guys have been, you know, those guys have been, worked each other 15 years ago. They're both professionals. Like, so I knew a lot of the matches were going to be good. I wasn't really worried about that. I was worried that people, and I was just hoping, you know, when you hope, put something like that on, you're like, well, man, I hope that people feel like this was worth their time and money. And they, because people traveled for it, and people, you know, helped. There was people who donated more than they were paid for the tickets to help put the show on. And I was like, well, I want this to come off and feel like it was a success for them. And I think on that point it was, right? Like, I think we didn't, you know, we could have used to sell another 100 tickets, would have been nice. But I think the people who came and went felt like they were, you know, this was the show that they wanted to see. And I think a tribute to the, I think this is a show Dean would have lost his goddamn mind up.
Oh, man.
Which is, and I think the show this weekend is a show Dean would have lost his goddamn mind about too. So I'm really, I'm nervous about this one too, right? You're always going to be nervous, especially because this one's like, it's going to be outdoors. It's going to be at this mall. You know, it's going to have a higher profile on this. It's going to be sort of a proof of concept for stuff moving forward. And so, you know, I'm a little nervous about that too, but it'll be fun. I mean, this is a dumb thing to be nervous about, right? And put on a wrestling show.
Exactly.
It's a giant failure. It's not like, right? It's not like this is, there's no way this is going to fail in a way that's going to make, you know, hurt my life, right? Like, you know, it's not like, I'm not losing anybody on this show because I'm not spending anybody on this show. So this is fucking great. Even if this doesn't turn out to be a mess, I'm still going to be fine.
Yeah, that removes the stress of it for sure. I mean, you say you know that the show was going to be good based on the card, right? But, like, you still put together a pretty ostentatious card, right? The amount of bloody matches and the runtime of this thing, And like by the time the semi-main and the main were going into the ring, like on this night for the first Dean show, like it's a testament to how awesome it was and how passionate everyone was who was there in attendance that like they were so up and into it and made these matches like even more magical by being such a good crowd for it so late at night. But that's about pacing a card as well, right? Like, I think you did a great job of like building it so it hit that crescendo at the perfect time.
Yeah, this is going to be shorter. The show will be like 2 hours, not 4 hours. Maybe it'll be longer than 2 hours. I don't know. 2 hours is going to be tight. I mean, we had a whole cybernetic on that thing. Those things can go 40 minutes. So this is going to be a different experience, and it'll be an interesting one. Because again, I knew everybody at that. You know, I knew personally like a third of that show, crowd, right? Like those are like, oh, there's Pete Stein who I've known for 20 years, or there's Lee Bonacco who I've known for 20 years. You know, those guys are going to be into the shows. You know, even guys I hadn't met personally were people that I kind of knew. So it was a little bit like we had a hometown crowd in a way that we will not have in Arizona. So we will see. This is we'll test how into a crowd that's going to be into this who isn't coming to see a tribute to their great friend, which a lot of the people were coming. There were people there who weren't like that too, but and I think still enjoyed the show. But that's the thing I'm a little nervous about. It's just like, you know, this person is going to be wander over from an Orange Julius and. What are they watching? But you know, we're gonna have some fireworks for sure. I mean, you're gonna, like I said, the Cibernetico's got a lot of, you know, banger lucha, you know, size incredible lucha talent guys on it. Something like, I mean, there's no way something like Mortis versus Slim J isn't gonna fucking, how is that not gonna be awesome, right? Rhino and Manders not gonna be cool for however long that, you know, that goes? And so I don't think there's anything on there that's going to bomb.
Dude, I think it's going to be fun and shit. Like, fun as shit, like, no matter what. Yeah. Like, it's going to be enjoyable. And, I'm really excited for it. And excited for, like, everyone involved in it, to be honest.
Yeah, and my hope is that this gets, like, I'd love to see everybody get, you know, get their profile raised again. That's like a big part of it. It's like I believe in all those guys that are on the show, and so, you know, I'd love to see Matt Mako say people can get booked a bunch more places because he puts on a banger. Him getting booked more at ROH, you know, those he's worked a little for them, and my hope is that the people who, you know, see make the decisions up there see some of these guys and go, oh shit, you know, we could do something with, you know, with Adam Priest, or we could do something with Matt Mako or the Coven. You know, those guys have been around for a long time. They love to see Reverend Dan's gravelly ass voice on TV. So we'll see.
Such a good voice.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. One of my things I was wondering when I watched that first Dean show, when I was rewatching it, of seeing you on camera, like here and there, little bits, you know, and I was thinking about like what was your night like, you know, because I know you probably had a bunch of things you were thinking about. I don't know whether you were like, were you like spent a lot of time backstage, like peeking through the curtain at shit, like the whole time? Were you like had to run times or anything?
Backstage. The advantage of having Matt on your team is that I didn't have to do any of that shit. Me and Eric took tickets at the beginning of it, so we were doing some of that and making sure that people had tickets, and then Eric would wander off and, where the fuck did you go? We got five people trying to get tickets. We were selling tickets for a while. And then, you know, just then we were kind of just in the crowd. My buddy Tom Kay, who I've known for forever, was there with me, so I was hanging out with him. And some other Segunda Kaida guys, J.R. Goldberg, who, you know, do the Way of the Blade, the deathmatch cannon with. He was there, so we were hanging out with him. And it was, so, you know, once the show started, you know, Matt and the people at H2O kind of handled that kind of shit. So I wasn't necessarily having to worry about getting people out on time or anything like that. You know, they had that pretty nailed down. Dylan, Hales was doing the commentary, and the IWTV people were doing the production stuff. So once we got everything in there, I mean, we started out by setting up chairs and all that kind of stuff. Once the show started, I didn't have that many responsibilities. Once the show was over, I had to drive like Demas to the airport like 4 a.m. So they did those.
Oh, man.
Like I was saying, so, you know, I just, I got back to the hotel room and I was like, okay, I'm going to drive. I guess I'm driving Divas to an hour and 15 minutes to the airport at 4 a.m. And then somebody else drove Slim J. So there was a lot of like getting people to airports and stuff at the end of the night. So it lasted a long time. But the actual, during the actual show, I was able to just kind of enjoy what was going on, which I suspect I'll be able to do on Saturday.
That's
too.
Awesome.
We'll see. Chris Hero is going to be doing a lot of that.
This is so good.
Chris is going to be doing a lot of the agenting.
Oh, shit.
So he's gonna be backstage doing a lot of that stuff for this show, which will be cool.
So good.
Because he does that stuff for AEW, but he like reached out to me. He's like, hey, do you guys I'd love to be part of this. Do you want to help? Can I get anything I can do to help? And I'm like, yeah, come on down, man. Because you know, it's like he understands the assignment. Part of it is like, do you understand the assignment, right? And, again, he's the guy that's been on the Death Valley Driver. He was on the Death Valley Driver board when he was started in wrestling. Like Mike Neymark showed in the Death Valley Driver board when he was like 19 years old. So he understands the assignment. And, you know, and Tony understands the assignment. And that's so a part of it. It's like, do you get what you're trying to do
here? Dude, Hero is probably like the most encyclopedic wrestling mind I've ever got to meet. Like I did some training with him back in the day in my worker days over here, where he came and ran some classes for a few weeks. And, you know, I remember picking him up from the airport, him and Trick Davis, of all people, back in the day.
I could be a Mid-South legend.
Yeah, absolutely. just such a nice guy, but such a guy who, it's that encyclopedia knowledge where you could pick at that brain for, like, so many different types of wrestling. And, love that dude. So happy to hear that.
Yeah, that's cool. I'm excited to do that. I've only ever met Chris once, recently, and I was at his comeback show when he wrestled Thatcher, a couple of years ago now. I just happened to be in the Bay Area for work when that show was happening. So I met up with Eric and we went to the show and got to, I met him briefly. So obviously they had texted him over the years and sold them some cops back in the day. And so it'll be fun to see him again and catch up, and I'm very excited that he's going to be sort of helping out with that kind of, with the, you know, agenting, because, you know, again, it's good. That's going to be different too, because, you know, some of these guys don't work for us. So, you know, it's going to be, that'll be a challenge. I think a challenge, but it'll be a different thing this weekend too, when you're talking about, you know, okay, this guy's an AW guy, this guy's working an indie guy or what, or these are these CMLL guys who, you know, are coming in when we don't, you know, with, no, they don't. Unclear. We got to let them know the assignment too. So, you know, that's going to be part of it. And it must be fun. I'm very excited about this. It's been in the works for a long time. So we had the initial conversations about doing this with Tony, last year. So, you know, it was originally going to be an All In, and that got kind of messed up because they had to move the time for All In. So then it kind of got, you know, they were like, well, you know, it doesn't look like All In's going to be trouble. Can you guys just do it? Because it was like, part of it was like, I was trying to get, you know, I was like, hey guys, this is coming up. It's in July. You know, we got to start planning for this. And they were like, yeah, you know, it's this whole thing got messed up. Can you just do it in May instead? Fuck, I guess. I mean, we'll just do it in May instead, I guess. That's 5 weeks away. But yeah, why not? We'll just do it in May instead. So we kind of came together took a long time, but they came together very fast. So that's, we'll see how this comes off.
Dude, that is incredible. I had no idea. Man, riding by the seat of your pants. I love it. What other way?
Yeah, right, this is in the spirit of what we're doing, right?
Yeah, for real.
It's outlaw wrestling. It's outlaw wrestling. Even if it's got a giant corporation behind it, it's still outlaw wrestling.
It feels exactly as in the spirit as it should be. The only way you could do this with sort of a corporate partner, but still for it to, you know, be in the Dean spirit there. I love it, man. I'm so excited for the show. I will be watching. I heard it's going to be on the ROH YouTube. Is that going to be like live or on demand, or what's the deal?
I think it's going to be like a day or two afterwards. It's a, you know, it costs a lot more money to stream live than it does to just put it up. Like, so it'll, I mean, we're doing it Saturday. I think it'll probably hopefully be up by Monday.
Cool.
A lot of these things I'm going to figure out and nail down when I get there, I think is the thing. But, you know, people get a chance to watch it for sure. You know, and obviously if you're anywhere near Arizona, you should come on down. It's free. I mean, you're not going to see a wrestling show this good for free, certainly anywhere. And it probably, maybe not a wrestling show that's good for money. So, you know, I'm pretty confident it's going to be pretty sick. Certainly if anybody here happens to hear this is anywhere near Arizona this weekend, come down to the outside the desert Diamond Arena and experience this.
Do not miss this. If you're in the area, heck, man, be there. The other thing that's so funny about this is it's so weirdly coinciding with the new AEW Way of the Blade book coming out. We're saying like that's probably going to be hitting like real soon. It's kind of like eerie because, you know, this release has been like coming for a while. You know, we were thinking it was going to be out, you know, a while ago, and then, you know, these things just have legs. It's just the way they work. But yeah, like for it finally to sort of like almost be all happening at the same time is, it's kind of weird. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, it is. And for a while I was starting, I was feeling very frustrated, right? Just like, you know, I had this book, which seemed like it was kind of stuck on the 5-yard line for a while. And then I would, this project with, you know, Dean too, also similarly seemingly stuck on the 5-yard line for a long time, right? It was like, what's supposed to be happening? We haven't any updates on it. And, you know, like, and then I was, you know, getting a lot of not writing any more regularly for The Ringer. The editor I had worked with in GQ, this is media, he got fired, so I don't really have a contact there anymore. And I was just like, well, I'm not, you know, I'm like kind of not writing anything right now, but I'm for any places. This book seems like it's been stuck forever. This big fun Dean thing isn't going anywhere. So I was kind of like grousing around the house. I had all these ideas, let's go do this cool shit, now it's gonna happen. Then kind of, you know, I got set up with Yahoo, and now I'm writing really pretty regularly for them and doing cool stuff, and the book's finally coming out and the show is happening, so it really felt like my pipes got unclogged all at once, which is kind of cool. So yeah, I'm feeling great now, but I was certainly for a while going, oh man, this, nothing's happening, nobody's moving, nothing's, you know, I'm stuck in the mud, unsure how to get myself unstuck, because, you know, when you're working freelance media stuff, which I am now, I had sort of a regular thing for The Ringer for a while, but now it's just pitching. It's a lot of pitching, and then it's just like, you know, I sent my pitch into the world, and will it come back? A lot of times you just never hear anything. I initially talked to them in October and heard back in March.
No, it's the nature of it. Yeah, it's frustrating.
It's like, oh, this is a good idea. Just let me write it.
Yeah, it feels like kind of the same way a little bit with, like, for me doing freelance illustration, you know, as a job. Like, you have so much stuff that you talk about that, like, either doesn't go anywhere, or you have, like, this big, you know, dream client job that's going to be, like, a cool thing, and then just, like, whatever fucking happens, or things get stalled out, or, you know, whatever. But, yeah, so for me as well, and I've been sort of anxiously looking forward to the release, because, you know, the first Way of the Blade book was massive for me, and I think it introduced me to a lot of my, you know, clients and stuff that I have now, and people who've, like, bought my artworks and things. So, yeah, it feels really interesting. Like, is this, you know, AEW edition going to do that with a different kind of group of people? You know, like AEW kind of, I don't know. I don't know what it's going to be like. I'm kind of nervous for the release as well. Like, you don't know ever what it's gonna look like.
I'm really happy with the book, so
I'm
proud
of the book.
Sell either, and I don't know what it's gonna do. You know, in some ways it's kind of out of my hands a little bit, but I think the people who do get the book are gonna like the book, especially like the first book.
Yeah.
It's different, it's not the same thing, you know. Way of the Blade 3 will be the same thing, this is a different thing, but, you know, it's cool. Really, when I was reading over, like, sort of the last minute, you know, galleys and things like that, you know, I was like, oh, I'm actually pretty proud of a lot of this writing. This is, you know, you're never, when you write it, at first you're always like, this fucking sucks. Like when you write your initial things, sometimes it takes a little while to look back on it and go, actually, it's pretty good. I made some good points. It's pretty funny. It kind of flows well. Maybe I'm actually okay at this and not just, you know, a fraud waiting for people to realize that I'm a fraud, right? Like, so I actually think the book's is going to be really cool. People who are listening to this and like the first book or like your art or like some of the writing I've done for other places, you know, you're going to get this book and be like, oh, yeah, this is the shit that I wanted this to be. There's some really great quotes in there. I mean, I ended up getting some really good quotes and from wrestlers, the Eddie Kingston stuff. Moxley just went nuts. Like, his stuff is just completely out of control. His quotes in that book, like stuff that he probably shouldn't have said, and you know, like, a lot of the lists I think ended up I ended up adding kind of late to pad things. Those ended up being pretty cool. So the book's awesome. Hopefully people see it. I don't know whether it's going to sell as well as the first one. The first one's been pretty durable. It keeps selling. I got, you know, and people keep discovering it. Yeah, people keep coming to this. Hopefully this has a long tail too, because I'd like to keep doing these. So I want this to at least sell well enough that John will let us keep doing them.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, man. I have faith in the book for sure.
From anyway, even if he won't let us, but then we have to fucking figure out how to publish a book. And I, like I said, I'm having Matt run the wrestling, the fucking logistics of action. I like having John Stone in run the logistics of the book publishing. I like to be able to find competent people and assign them the fucking scut work is my style.
The responsibility.
Yeah, let me come up with the idea. I'll come up with the ideas and I'll do the writing and let you figure out how to fucking format a book. I don't know how to do that. You know how to do that?
No, I don't know any part of that.
No, horrible. So, I mean, we'll do away the book three either way, right? If John says I'm out of the fucking book publishing business, we'll figure out a way to get it published. I just would rather.
Absolutely.
I would rather not have to figure that out. If I can avoid that. I was going to break news on your show. I talked to my friend Will Goodhelmick. Do you remember Mighty Goodhelmick comps back in the
day? I have a bunch of those, dude. They're like my favorite comp tapes, aside from the Schneider comps, of course.
So I was talking to Will. A lot of people got those from Will too. He ended up remixing, mastering all of those at one point to actually with actual good video quality and, like, you know, videos and shit, as opposed to just like an 8-hour videotape, poor quality that I recorded over 400 times. Man, he's bringing back the 80s project.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, so I'm dropping that on here at the hour 7 of this podcast. So he called me today. He's coming to Arizona, which I'm very excited about because I hadn't seen him in a long time. He's a good friend of mine, but he was happy to be in Arizona on unrelated business. So he's coming to the show in the week, so I get to hang out with him. But also, he's like, got the coming to the show kind of got him excited about wrestling again, and he kind of just put together this thing. And then he called me, kind of said, "Well, you know, we've already got a lot of these people, you know, who are going to watch all the footage, and I've got it all organized." And Charles, and you know, Loss from wrestling, the wrestling playlist is going to host all the things. He's going to host the folders and handle the voting, but I just wanted to make sure that you were okay with us doing this, you know. Amazing. You know, because you know, zero initially something I came up with 20 years ago and started and then tried to find people to do it. But I was like, yes, you absolutely, you want to do this, you 100% have my blessing. What do I have to do? I have to do nothing. Because I was like, if I could really watch as much stuff as I could before I had kids, like, no, you don't have to watch anything. I'm like, well, then fuck, absolutely, man. If the answer is I don't have to do any of the work, but I can, you know, watch the stuff and vote on the things. So that we're bringing that back in
the dream
25. So we're going to, you know, they're working on, they're going to juice up the Puerto Rico set and the Portland set and get people to vote on that. And they're working on, got people working on an updated WWE set and we're going to do Crockett and Joshi and all that's Europe. All the things we were going to do 20 years ago and stop after 5, we're going to bring back and finish the project.
What a world.
And by we, I mean them. And I'm going to, you know, oversee.
Death Valley Driver review lives on. I love it.
There you go, buddy. It's coming back for 2025. We're doing big shit. I'm almost shutting down. I'm almost getting Joey Janela arrested. I'm fucking putting on Dean shows. We're releasing another book.
Dude.
All the stupid things.
This has been such a fun chat.
Yeah, man. It's good
talking
to you again.
Thank you so much, man. I've honestly really enjoyed just shooting the shit with you. I could keep talking for hours. It's late at night where you are.
It is late night where I am. I got to get the kids to school. I'll give some plugs. We have a book, book that you can pre-order. Please pre-order the book. We have another book, which you can order from Amazon, that you should order that. Way of the Blade, AEW edition. Way of the Blade, the podcast is sporadic. A couple times a month, I think I'm doing, I've had some great guests since I brought it back. I had on Eddie Kingston, and I had on Tony Khan, and The Sandman, and Mad Dog Connolly, and Joey Janela before the first conversation I had with him, the one that didn't get him in any trouble. And I've had a... we're doing a thing on this podcast called The Canon, where I'm going to basically trying to figure out canonical professional wrestling matches. So I'm doing right now the death match canon with my friends J.R. Goldberg and Bucky Barnett. So we're trying to figure out what the canonical death matches are. We've done, I think, 4 episodes of that. We've got some more coming up. So I'm working on that project. I've got some stuff that I've done from Yahoo recently that people should check out, including my Sabu article on his last match and sort of a elegy for Sabu. I'm really proud. I think that's one of the best things I've ever written. So I was really proud of that. I also did a Sabu mixtape for The Ringer, where I talked about like some of the underground Sabu matches, the equivalent of a Best of Sabu Volume 3 Extreme Violence, which is the first tape that every single tape trader ever traded for. So my version of that for The Ringer, you can look at that. I got some Yahoo stuff coming up. Hopefully I've got that should be. So keep your eyes on Yahoo Sports in the next week. Got one thing that I've written and submitted and should be coming out soon. And then I got another idea that I've had I'm going to put together for them. So got some stuff. And Dean 2's in a week.
What?
So get prepared.
Dude, thank you so much.
Dean 3 is going to be in September.
Yes.
At the ECW Arena.
ECW Arena?
Yes.
Yes.
So that's happening. We should have, I'm hoping we will have a specific date for that in time to announce it at Dean 2. That's my plan. I'm going to go to Arizona and I have to buttonhole to like get a date on that show. It's one of the things I'm planning on doing this weekend, but it's happening. I mean, we're doing it. So, one at some point during the 2-week residency at the ECW Arena, which AEW is doing, we're going to be doing Dean 3. I've got a lot of crazy ideas. A lot of crazy ideas for that one. Who knows how many are going to come off, but that's going to be one where I'm not going to have 4 weeks to put it together. I'm going to have a long time to put it together. I'm going to have some chances to make some phone calls to some lunatics, and we'll see how that shakes out. But that's going to be the show. This weekend's going to be awesome. But Philly's going to be something. I'm telling you,
man. I am pumped for all of it. Everyone would be on all of these things, dude. I've enjoyed this so much, and let's talk again soon.
Absolutely, Chris.
All right, thanks, Phil. I appreciate you as always. You're the man.
All right, man. I was so happy with that. Phil is just the nicest dude. Makes me very happy to get to have those kind of rambling chats. I hope you guys enjoyed that. We got some little sneaky announcements there. Might have all come out by the time this is published, but nonetheless, I'm very appreciative for the special little things there. Also, I just want to say, it's now been posted on Twitter, but oh my gosh, the surprise final name on that big Cibernetico show for the next Dean is going to be Blue Panther! Yes, my favorite luchador of all time. I do not have words. I wish I could be there for this show. I'm going to be watching the show as soon as it hits YouTube, of course. Badger's very excited in the background there. But man, what a time to be alive that these kind of weird batshit wrestling kind of shows are taking place. That we have someone, you know, I'm so appreciative. We have Tony Khan bankrolling this whole thing, this passion project. Man, I am so enthused. This is an awesome thing. So I'm stoked to have Phil on to talk about it. Everyone make sure to check out those shows. And yeah, man, I hope you dug this chat. Definitely be having Phil on again in the future to maybe talk in a little bit more depth about some of these matches. Yeah, dude, I've had a great time. I'd like to thank Phil again. Make sure you're following Phil and reading his writing. That last one he did on Sabu is a tremendous piece. And yeah, I definitely do check out the other one that he was talking about. But dude, so good. I'd also like to say a big thank you to Social Suplex, socialsuplex.com, the place where you can find a variety of other rad wrestling podcasts. In addition to this one, the team that keeps the lights on here allows me to yabber in your ear holes as I do. I'm appreciative of it. If you'd like to check them out, there's a bunch of other podcasts from One Nation Radio to Keeping It Strong Style, the New Japan podcast featuring the young boy Josh Smith, to Trish and Sarah podcast, Tunnel Talk, Imps WWE Adventure, the All Things Elite podcast, AEW Match Recommendation podcast. They got it all. They got it all. So jump on that if you feel like it. ChrisThings.com.au is the place I'd point you for my things, a place where you can find all of my matches of the week, my match of the week illustrations that I do, my little write-ups that I do for the matches. You can also purchase fancy art prints of said matches, and a lot of time also the actual original pen drawing that became this artwork. Also have a bunch of other stuff on there, from t-shirts to paintings to all sorts of other art prints. I'm waiting until I find the maximum number of products you can have listed on this site. I'll have to cull things down to then, but until then, you just get all the things. I try to categorize it in a way that's, you know, somehow digestible, but I don't know. There's always things you can do with this stuff, but I'm pretty happy with it, you know. It's just nice to have a little website where I can point people to and say, hey, this is my work, this is who I am. And, you know, also that, like I said, the events page. People can keep up when I do have these events. I have to work out when the next wrestling club event's going to be. But, yeah, I'm enjoying things. And I'm very grateful for everyone who does, you know, make a purchase on there. If it's a little thing, or even just if you listen to this podcast, or, you know, follow and like things on the Instagram. Chris Things on Instagram, by the way. I always appreciate it. So I think that's pretty well all of the things. Until next week, I hope you guys have a good week, and do the hammer lock. Enjoy.
I do the hammer lock. Do the hammer lock, you turkey necks. Yeah, do the hammer lock. I do the hammer lock. Everybody's doing it. Do the eye gouge. Yeah, do the eye gouge. Do the eye gouge, you turkey necks. Yeah, do the eye gouge.
Why is life better with American Family Insurance? Because every policy comes with something very special. A trusted agent who's there to help protect your dreams by finding the right coverage at the right price. Save up to 23% when you bundle home and auto. American Family Insurance. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.